this day and this hour as we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. We move today into the second stanza of that which we embarked upon last week. The ushers pass out that, for those that don't have the document, it's an excerpt from the ministry document that we have, I guess, for the last 4 or 5 years. We're in volume 2, at least 3 years in a way. Repeat after me: scriptural distinctions,
scriptural distinctions,
actualization in eternity,
of actualization in eternity,
for manifestation in time.
Manifestation.
And the excerpt from that is basically divergent significations of eternality from temporality. Now somebody's going to say, "Oh, Pastor, why? You just got us into this deep stuff." Well, everything in the Bible is really deep. The essence of Paul's writings,
yes,
are that they are called the mystery. We have been in a Sunday Bible study for the last, what is, 3 or 4 years, Brother Deacon?
Yes.
At least. Dealing with what is the revelation of the mystery.
The mystery.
The most glorious writing of all in the scripture as it relates to us as Gentiles.
Right. Yes.
And to us living in the present dispensation of grace is a message that God revealed to Paul for the Grace Church in the grace dispensation. Somebody said, "Well, why don't you just preach in parables and we understand what you're talking about?" You notice Paul didn't write in parables.
No.
It's that revelation that, according to the third chapter of Romans, that was hid from ages, but is now revealed for the sake of our comprehending what those and prior generations never knew.
Amen. Never knew.
So we are privileged to see deeper into the things of God than those that came before us in prior ages. It is called a mystery, but it is a revealed mystery. It is known through revelation. Paul knew it through revelation. And you and I, amen, can know it through revelation. Remember, when you're talking about the things of God, you're not talking about natural things. As we said last week in Corinthians, Paul makes the statement that natural men and natural thinking does not understand or comprehend the things of God, because they're what?
Spiritual
design. So it has to go from spirit to spirit, or the Holy Spirit to your spirit.
Right.
I can't stand here and explain anything or show you anything or teach you anything. Last week, let's reprise a few things before we get into the essence of our focus this morning. We were in the passage in Corinthians where Paul was speaking about the fact, as he wrote, concerning the problems that he incurred while he was ministering in Asia. Time will not allow us to get into the various aspects, but in around the 21st, 22nd, 23rd, chapters 24th, even 25th chapters of Acts, you see the many troubles that Paul befell. And I mean, he ministered this at the risk of his life. In fact, it ultimately cost him his life. But as he left Ephesus, he spoke to those Ephesians. He said, for all of the things that I have encountered, said, none of these things moved me. In other words, they did not dissuade me from ministering that which God revealed to me. And it is to our advantage this morning as we receive this mystery. Now, each one of you, hopefully by now, you have a copy of Divergent Significations of Eternality from Temporality. In fact, why don't you repeat that after me? Divergent significations
of eternality
from temporality. Now I said, why are you got all these alities and nations? And no. Let's follow now. Let's follow this closely. He's speaking of the difference between what is safely secured in existence, which is in eternality. Eternality is the sphere or core, the essence of existence that is unmovable, irreversible, unchangeable, unchallengeable. Because it exists. That's what existence is. Existence is about what is. Temporality are the things that we see around us every day.
Yes. That's right.
In temporality, nothing is stable.
Nothing.
In eternality, everything is stable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In temporality, nothing is peaceful. Not for long. In eternality, everything is peaceful.
Peace.
So you cannot count on anything that you see that's around you simply because of the terminology. Temporary.
Mm-hmm.
Which means not long.
Not long.
It's passing. Mm-hmm. And if it's passing, it's not something you can grasp. Try as we might, we seek to grasp things that are not reliable because they're not retrievable. You cannot, from one moment to the next, know that they are there. No. All right. Ella Liberman is our designated reader. This morning, let's go to the 15th chapter of Romans. I want to focus basically on verse 13 and 14. Now, in this passage, Paul begins the context, follow me now, with the statement that we who are strong or have been enabled should bear the deficiency of those that are infirm. In other words, as he writes in the first chapter of Romans, he says, I am debtor both to the Greek and the Jew because of what I know.
That's
right. So as we receive this, we need to pass it on.
Amen.
And as we conveyed last week from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, listen to me. We are not considering or prioritizing the things that we see. But that the things that we don't see, the things that we see, they're physical, but they're temporary. The things that we don't see, I say, well, that's kind of strange. What is that? That's the difference between spiritual and physical. Our problem is we don't really understand what spiritual is.
Right.
Here, break it down real simple. Physical is what we see. Spiritual is what God has said. In fact, repeat after me. Physical is what we see.
Spiritual
is what God has said. And you cannot see what he has said except through his word. This is why, regardless of whatever is going on out there weekly, when we come into this ministry, we are going to talk about the unseen. We're going to prioritize. Not that to mean that we stick our head in the sand and say, well, this is not going on. But when we say this is going on, we say this is going on temporary.
That's right.
Then we look into the word of God and say, this is what it is. And if you don't live like that, life is going to wear you out. Beat you up. You're going to be a miserable something. How many people go to the mail each day, get a letter, open it up, and it ruins their day? No, ruins the week. Or you turn on the news, on the television, or you go on the internet and get most of my news from the internet. And you read something. And you go, oh. Oh, you look at this news and this has happened over there. Someone has done this. All type of atrocities and worldwide as well as right here on the streets of our local community.
Absolutely.
And you go, wow, things are all out of line and out of order. In time, temporarily, yes.
That's right. Come on.
In eternality,
eternality,
nothing is out of order.
Nothing.
I hear you.
And everything is complete.
I hear you.
Oh, give God a praise.
Yeah.
So if anybody want to say that we're stuck in eternity, guilty. Because that's the only thing that's going to give you some stability.
Amen.
Look first in the document, first paragraph that we started off with. Everybody got it, amen? Eternal perspective should be more influential in stirring God's people through daily difficulties.
Yes.
The scriptural events are evidence that human contemplations aren't even dimly aware of the extensive encouragement instilled beyond time's courses where? In the eternal sphere. The solitary most poignant of all factors is the way spirituality is supposedly emphasized on the one hand. This is what ministry said they're doing. While human convention focuses with what they call, and it's remarkable, pragmatic attention to temporary needs on the other. Somebody said, well, Pastor, don't we need to daily? Temporarily. It's like when you go on a vacation. You take whatever you need. Do you take everything that belongs to you? No. Or that you think belong? No. You take what you need for the duration of where you're going.
I hear you.
My problem is we think that we are residents of the earth.
Come on here.
No. We're visitors to the earth.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
office. I'm a resident. And why don't you get to stay forever? We're all on term limits.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
You in here?
Thank
you. For a short period. Mm-hmm. In fact, for a period that is so quick, until it's like a whisper in comparison to existence. You're in here and then you're out of here. Most lives are within a century, 100 years. So that's a long time. Not compared to forever. It's like taking a teaspoon of liquid and dropping it into the ocean. That's the comparison of time to eternity.
To eternity.
Yet, the majority of our thinking is about here and now. And when we say the future, we think about the future concerning what I'm doing now. I raised quite a few eyebrows at a funeral one time. And when it came my time to give some remarks, I said, now, we've spent much time today talking about what the individual did. And that's all well and good, because that's the definition of eulogy. Eulogy means to speak well of. Why don't we take a moment and focus on what the individual is doing? They're gone. They're gone from the earth.
From the earth.
Not gone, gone from the earth. Mm-hmm. And those that belongs to Christ, absent from the body, is what?
Present
with the Lord. How can you be gone if you're present with the Lord? So we need to rearrange our focus. When you say life, you're talking about existence. When you're talking about existence, you're talking about what is. And when you're talking about what is, you're talking about what's forever. What's eternal. We continue. In fact, and this is the way they come out the ministries that want to focus on spiritual and prioritize spiritual over physical. An axiom or aphorism or saying of this idea is that any religion that can't save people temporarily has no valid claim to do so spiritually. Yeah, that's what they said. You got to get his bills paid before you can talk about salvation.
Bring it out.
You will never get all your bills paid. Even the rich people, they never get all their bills paid. Because as long as you owe something, you say, well, I got enough to cover it. And you still owe it. Until you cover it. And then you're going to owe some more.
I hear you.
Amen.
Here's what we must understand. And the scripture teaches us, we brought nothing in.
Nothing.
And we're going to take nothing out.
Nothing.
Here's the joy of this. You brought your salvation in.
Come on here. Hallelujah.
And while you're in, you have it. And when you go, you never lost it. Because you never moved from the locale of eternality. What is claimed in these camps of ministries is that a ministry shouldn't just be engaged in preparing the people for the next world, but it should be one which instills in its members in tangible ways the need of provident living in the present. I agree with that. But the best way to live in time is from the vantage point of eternity. The best way to happiness in this life is to understand eternal life. To grasp it. To know that life is more than just what we see now and what I'm encountering now. True life is forever. And when you dare to start preaching like this, somebody gets bored. Of course, no preacher wants to be boring, but, you know, temporality is boring too. Well, how is it boring? What's boring is that which has no hope. And the scriptures teach that if your hope is only in this life, you are of all men most miserable. Because everything around you is in transition and will disappear. This perception is defined as the need for self-reliance, education, and career development. All of these things are good, and we encourage our young people here to go to school. And one, even the older people, you want to go back to school. So just don't depend upon that. For your sustenance. Or your happiness. Many have, as well as the charitable services for the needy and so forth. And I'm saying, participate in all of these things. There are many good organizations out there, the Red Cross and others, and they do a good job. But all of those provisions are temporary, like what you would take on a vacation. So here I have something temporary, and I have something forever, eternal. Which one should I prioritize? Yeah, the majority of the ministry is about the here and the now. What I can see, touch, taste, physically handle. And the scripture is saying, don't go there. We're not looking at the things that are what? Seen. That's scripture. But the things that are unseen. Because what you see is temporary. Yet what God has said is eternal. But somehow we have a mental blockage. Scripture say in Colossians 3:1, if indeed you are co-raised with Christ. How can I be co-raised with Christ? In the Greek, it says what? Actually, that Greek word there, it says seek. It means pay attention, prioritize, contemplate, consider. The things above. Well, Christ sitteth on the right hand of God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is Paul smoking something when he writes that? No. We're doing just the opposite of the scripture. Verse 2 says, set your affection in the King James. Again, pay attention. Prioritize. Consider. What? The things above are the above things. What does not the things on the earth mean?
Not.
It says not the things of the earth. Colossians 3:2. And that's exactly what we are doing. We are prioritizing the things of the earth.
I hear you.
God help us that the eternal things are not boring, but they're exciting.
Yes, amen.
They're encouraging.
Yes,
They are assuring.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
All right. I guess the preamble was kind of long and reprising, but I had to bring us to where we are now. Let's open your Bibles. Let's go to the 15th chapter, Romans. Brother Elder, read verse 13 and 14. Call your scripture.
King James.
Yes. Start off, King James.
Romans chapter 15, beginning with the 13th verse.
Mm-hmm.
Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 14, and I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another.
All right. To caution one another. What is the caution? Keep looking up. Because through looking up, you're looking down. What do you mean? You're looking down on life when you're looking up. Instead of around in life. Let's go to the Greek text. Now here at the Grace Gospel Church, we utilize the Greek interlineal because he has the Greek scripting and right under it the English word. So if he goes off course here, at least has to put some type of bookmark to let you know that, hey, I'm deviating from the script. All right? Everybody got it? Now, if you don't have the Greek interlineal, just follow along in the translation that you have before you. All right? Read.
Romans chapter 15, 13th verse, interlinear Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
Now the God of hope.
Stop. Hope. Earnest expectation. Something that you're expecting is not going to let you down. And you notice you have the genitive of possession. You have the hope of God. Or the hope of God, or the God of hope. That means your expectation are possessed by God, not by you. The only hope you have is an eternal hope. Don't depend upon anything. Somebody said to me, Mr. Trump scare you? No. Crazy stuff he said. They're going to mess around and put a buffoon in office. I won't be the first buffoon that's been in office. Why aren't you worried? Because my man has been in, he stays in, and he can't be put out.
Amen.
Who is my man? Jesus. That'd been crazy. I'm not saying Mr. Trump is crazy now. I was just responding to what someone had asked me. Let's focus on what the actual point is. There have been leaders, men given power. But what did God say about Pharaoh? I raised him up what? What was the purpose? Not to show Pharaoh's power, but my power. The evil Emperor Nero. Chopped Paul's head off. burn the city down. And then proceeded to slaughter many. So I said, well, where's God? Why didn't he stop it? This is why we're into this. To understand the God of all comfort. The God of all encouragement. The God of all hope. As long as your hope is not in this world. Will he help us along the way and so forth? As he wills.
He wills.
Did he let Paul down because Nero executed?
No.
You know what Paul said? As he knew what was going down, because the Lord had loved him. He said, I finished my course. And there's laid up. Where, Paul? What country? Not here. Where? In eternality. What? A crown of righteousness. Righteousness of Christ. He was talking about his relationship to Christ. My friend, that's the best thing you got going for you. Oh, God, help us to understand that. We are winners, not losers, because we are part of Christ. We are his body. Oh, give God praise. Yes. So, no, I'm not going to stand up here and during this coming election and talk about it, no matter what's going on out there. I mean, it's ludicrous to say we want to put our man in office. Now, a man has never been out of office.
Never.
Who is the architect and ruler of the universe? God. Through Christ. All things were created what?
In him.
In him what?
Through him.
Through him.
And for him.
And for him.
Oh.
And everything is complete.
Yeah.
All right, read. Oh, that clock is beating me up. Read.
Verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you of all joy.
Stop. Endowed within you. This hope. Why? Why aren't we standing here talking about you getting rich? Talking about how much Abraham had. And every time they do that, I say, yeah, how much does Abraham have now on earth? Because it's all temporary. And whatever you get, you don't get to keep. Well, no, you don't. If you lose your job, don't lose your mind. Because you're going to lose that job anyway. It's just a matter of time. I lost my house. Don't lose your mind. Because eventually you'll lose that house anyway. I lost my savings. I lost my money. Don't lose your mind. Because you're going to lose that anyway. When anyone ever comes to me talking about so-and-so died a millionaire, I say, stop. You were okay until you said a millionaire. And I said over again, and this time, leave the millionaire off. So-and-so died. Nobody dies a millionaire. The moment you die, whatever you think you had, you're separated from it. Well, I left it to my children. They're going to eventually die. So, Pastor, I don't like messages like that. I came for encouragement. This is what we're trying to do. We're trying to point you to the arena of encouragement. Which is eternality. Now, here's our problem. I see sometimes in the future, I come back and get it, is that we live on a globe. Anybody ever had a small model of a globe? In fact, notice the scripture said we live on the earth. We don't live in the earth. We live on the earth crust. We live on the outer shell of the earth. So where is the stability in that? And the only reason you don't float away from the earth is because of a force they call gravity. But then the earth is in a solar system. The sun. Look out the window. You're seeing the light that left the sun 8.5 minutes ago. You're not seeing the light that's now just now leaving. So within I live in the solar system. No, you don't. The solar system is in the Milky Way with billions of other suns or stars. And the only reason it doesn't float away is this force called gravity. The center of the galaxy keeps everything intact. So within I live in the Milky Way. No, you don't. There are billions of Milky Ways or galaxies in the universe. So within I live in the universe. No, you don't. Because the universe is in Christ. So where do you live? In Christ. Even though you don't talk about it that much, because we're looking at what we see. We think life is about what's going on in my street, my neighborhood, my city, my state, my country, my quote world. We call the earth world. It's not the world, it's the earth. And it's a dot. Hey, it's a dot in the solar system. You can put 1 million earths into the sun. And then there are other stars that you can put the sun in thousands of times. And it's only one of billions of suns in the Milky Way. There are millions, billions of Milky Ways in the universe. Galaxies. And according to Colossians 1:16, universe is where? In Christ. What is it there for? It's in Him, through Him, what? For His purpose. But I can't see it. Let's go back to the scripture. That's what we're looking at, the things we can't see. How do I look at what I see? When we understand that what you can't see is God's word. So how do I get to God's word? Open the book. And whatever God has said, my friend, you can count on it. Thank oh, give God a praise. Hallelujah. All right, read.
Now, verse 13 again. Now the God of hope fill you of all joy
mm-hmm.
and peace
mm-hmm.
in to believe.
All right, here, stop. But Deacon, you got your, y'all got your, what is that word? It's a particular infinitive. It's an infinitive. So, what is a, is articulating? No, but listen. Is that something is happening as a result of or in conjunction with what the adjective is, or what the noun is describing? What is it describing? Believing? Well, believing is seeing. No. Believing is seeing if the belief is in the unseen. If you're believing in the seen, you're not really believing. And what is there? What is there to hope for if I see it? Is that I'm going to hope for this and it's in your hand? No, it's the unseen. So seeing is believing in the unseen. And here, what is articulating here, it would be transitively translated, while believing. In other words, the advantage of believing is while you're believing, there is joy and peace. And aside from that, where's the joy? Things that we said, oh, I was just elated and so forth and so on. You know what's going to happen? It's going to get old. And as it dissipates in your mind, there goes your joy. What's the key word here? Temporary. So while believing, while prioritizing, while contemplating, while considering the unseen, it's going to fill you with joy and peace. You know, most of our meal comes from the website. Comes from what we call the third world country.
Bring it out, cuz.
And you know what that question is about? Salvation and the relationship with God. Why? Because they're not all messed up with stuff. My stuff. Gonna get my stuff back that the devil took. First of all, if he has put his foul hands on it, you shouldn't want it back. Well, he took my husband. But you don't want him back the way the devil took him. Renewed. Exalted. Encouraged. things I can't see, I can't physically connect with. This is what Paul is talking about here. And this is why you don't hear a whole lot of preaching from Paul's epistles. And if they do, they go in there and talk about something physical, misconstrue something that he said. Like I heard a message this morning. No, it was from Romans chapter 8 at the end. Those that he predestinated, those that he predestinated, he did what? He called. Those that he called, he did what? Justified. Those that he justified, he did what? Glorified. God has predestined you to be famous, to be rich, to be alive. That's it. I can guarantee one thing. If Paul is discoursing something, it's not the same. It's what God has said. It is what God has given to him through revelation. The earth is not your home.
No. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus.
We're visitors here. What happens if you're a visitor? You don't get to stay. If you live 100 years, that's 1,200 months, that's 36,500 and some odd days. I said, well, that's a long time. And we celebrate people that live over 100. And amen, I'll say amen. Thank God, too. But it's all in relativism. Because when you speak about abiding, you're talking about that which is never ending. I promise, we don't believe it. We don't believe it. We don't believe it. Because if I can't see it, I can't believe it. God has done something great for us. Life is more than the things that are around you. He writes on one occasion, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered into the minds. Those things God would have been prepared for us. For earth? No. For the universe? No. Well, where are these things? Where everything is? In Christ. It says that he has revealed them unto us. Now, Paul doesn't basically, as he writes this, differentiate between those that will understand and those that, but he does make an assumption that the purpose of this being written is that God will give illumination to those who he chooses to give it to. Ten people can be sitting and listening, and three will say, oh, praise God. Seven might say, oh, when is he going to get through? What's the difference? He has revealed them to some. And it doesn't mean that the seven is not saved and the three are saved. It means that the ones that understand, God has purposed them to understand. Okay, I'm not going to get to the day up, but let's one verse. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I end here, and I'll be back in a few weeks. I'm not going to be privileged to come before you every week. Amen. I'm going to try to follow the doctor's orders. Amen. And for those that have been praying for me, we thank God.
Amen.
For prayers, and we continue to pray for
me. King James, read.
King James.
Romans chapter 12.
Mm-hmm. Everybody got it, amen? All right, now I'm just about to reach the home stretch here. Read.
What verse?
Verse 1. Okay.
Romans chapter 12, beginning with the first verse. I beseech ye therefore, brethren,
I beg you, I exhort you,
by the mercies of God,
mm-hmm,
that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
All right, let's go to the Greek there. No, that's a pretty good translation, but there's some nuggets I want to pull out of there. We have to do it through the language. Linguistics. Go ahead.
Romans chapter 12, interlinear Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
I beseech therefore you, brothers, through the compassions of God,
mm-hmm,
to present
stop,
the...
Stop, brother deacon. What's that present?
Aorist infinitive.
Say it loud.
Aorist infinitive.
Aorist infinitive. What's the aorist tense?
Completed
action. You see, when we said to present, in the English, that's how we treated infinitive. We put to in front of it. To go, to have, to do. But that's a completed action. Now, Paul doesn't know who has done this, but just like I'm preaching, I have to make the assumption that everyone here will receive the comprehension. So to have presented what?
Presented the bodies of you,
mm-hmm,
sacrifice a living holy.
That holy means separate. Now, does that mean now that you walk around like a monk and you don't get with people? No. Separate in mind. Separate in focus. Separate in hope. What is your hope? Read.
In hope to God.
Mm-hmm.
Well pleasing.
To God. What's the focus? God. Some days go by and some of us don't think about God. Oh yeah, we get in trouble. We say, "Oh Lord, we don't." You know, that's just the same. You say, "Jesus." I've seen people still there not thinking about Jesus. To God, read.
To God, well pleasing the reasonable service of you.
God, reasonable. Service as well as approved by God. Pleasing. All unseen. Because it's all about His saving. How much do the sayings of God mean to you? Hopefully everything. Now, some people say, "I don't read the Bible that much because I can't understand it." Well, who is the teacher? The Holy Spirit. Are you saying the Holy Spirit can't teach you? No, I can't, but the Holy Spirit does. They are spiritually discerned. All right, finish it up. Give me 5 minutes and I'm done.
To God, well-pleasing, the reasonable service of you.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 2, and be not conformed.
Stop. What voice is that in? Pastor. passive voice. Be not restricted. Be not restricted to what?
Age to this.
This world, this age. Be not restricted in what you see. In what you call living daily life. But you notice it's in the passive voice. As well as this antigen. That is the opposite. But what?
But be ye transformed.
Up. Again, what is that? Passive voice. What is that? Notice the passage from Colossians where he said, he has translated us into what? The kingdom of his dear son. What is that? What is Paul talking about there? That is the authority of you in Christ. So when he used this word here, which is a Greek word that means moving, he's not speaking from the standpoint of transition. Teleporting. Which is, they haven't come up with how to do that in physicality. No, but it's possible. Philip is where? He baptizes the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts. And then what did it say? Immediately he was in another city. Saw Jesus and he walked on the water, but when Jesus came aboard, what? They were immediately one time people go pause on Jesus and he disappeared before their eyes. Same thing happened to Paul. Now they haven't figured out a way to do it. It's a process. He just hasn't revealed it. Teleport means you're somewhere else in reality. You're perceived one place, but you're somewhere else.
Amen.
Be ye teleported. You're perceived in time, but you're in eternity. You're perceived in physicality, but you're in spirituality. How do you be in spirituality? In Christ. Oh, my time is gone. Oh, God. I guess I have to kind of stick with this now. I'll be back in a few weeks when I get my energy back up again. Amen. Isn't God good? Isn't God great? Isn't he magnificent? Give him a praise.
Amen. Come on, give the Lord another hand. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Thank God.